What I have on the board. I think we maybe talking about it. I think I'm still on the word as written. I think we're on to the word as written. Yeah, that you have some closing statements or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And you didn't
Well, the last thing we were talking about was Jesus.
Yeah, that was the spirit of God. We're ready to go back to the flesh now.
We're ready to go back to the flesh.
The word was with God. That's where we're at. We're still talking about the word with. Okay? And let me double check here. Yeah, I think I only read a couple of sentences.
Yes.
Yes, I made this statement. God's eternal plan for sons is wrapped up in the word with. Remember that? We talked about this, that the word was with God, but if you really begin to study it, you begin to see that the word with means fellowship, and therefore the definition of God there would be Father, and the definition of the word would be His Son. Okay, of course, we know that Jesus is the word. So there's only one way to have fellowship with God, the Father, and that's through the Word. Isn't that interesting? How that really works. Just one scripture, I don't know if we've kind of alluded to it, but I don't think we've ever really looked at it. Over in 1 John, John saw this, and so he wrote about it. 1 John 1, 4, 3. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? So, this is introducing God in a different way. It's saying, truly our fellowship is with the Father. And with His Son. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. Okay. And so, as the first John says, fellowship with us, which is truly fellowship between the Father and the Son. When you see the Word, you automatically begin to have fellowship with God when you see His Son. You begin to get into the Word, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal His Son. Which immediately begins to put you in a relationship with God the Father. Now that's not the way it was in the Old Testament when you would understand laws and things like this and you didn't really have fellowship with God. You tried to appease the almighty, scary God that was there. But here he's talking about this fellowship with, and of course, any relationship that we enter into, we simply enter into, it starts with the Father, with the Son. That's why he begins over here in the very first verse of the first time when he says, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Here in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, we have heard, we've seen. You know, they didn't just see the temporal Jesus. They began to understand that they have met the beginning itself, that which was from the beginning. So, the beginning starts with the Father and the Son. And now, creation doesn't begin with the Father and Son. I mean, it does. It begins because they created it. But the beginning begins with the Father and the Son. Once the Father and Son have said, this is the relationship we're going to have, and this is the relationship others can enter in through, then they were ready to begin to create. The beginning starts with the Father and the Son. There's no mention of flesh. The thing the Father started with is what he's going to end with. He started with Jesus, and he's going to end with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, because Jesus is the beginning and the end. Fellowship with the Father is worth sharing. How can you look at his face, see his glory, and talk about anything else? We're talking about fellowship, or the word with. How can you look at God the Father, see his face, see his glory, and talk about anything else? So our fellowship is not really in experiences. Our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That's where our true fellowship is. And you may get along. You may have testimonies to share, and there's nothing wrong with that. I always encourage testimony. You don't have true fellowship until you've entered in through the Son, who is the Word of God. There's no way. Not true fellowship. Not the beginning. What you've done apart from that is that you've had an encounter, not fellowship, but you've had an encounter with God. So he is pretty much just God, not Father to you, but he is God. And he proceeds along this line here, and then in our life we have all these Romans and stuff, and somewhere we have an encounter with God right here, and then we talk to other people down here about it, and then we go along, and then we have another account. Maybe we've been talking things without God, you know. But when you have this encounter with God, usually we glorify the experience. We glorify the God of the experience. We don't really recognize it's the Father that did something, or the motives behind that it is the Father. Correct.
We talk about it and they go back and talk about it and everything. And eventually what happened is they're basing everything on how wonderful that they thought this person was. But they capped it off with that this guy said just a sincere way that they wanted to be with them. And I had to explain to them that the person didn't want to be with you. The person wanted to go through all these emotional experiences, test out all these things until the ride was no longer fun. And I find that most Christians do that. Most Christians do not establish a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
You know, the person didn't want to establish anything eternal with you. They wanted to have a fun time. And most Christians, like you said, most Christians worship the God of the experience. And when it's no longer fun, you know, they either move on to something else or they try to be a good Christian in another area. What they do, any number of things. There's no rule establishing a relationship.
As far as what they call a relationship or fellowship, they are literally, this is the basis of most of it, they're trying to get as much out of you as they can. Now, they may not really think of it that way. But really and truly it is because, you know, well, I'm tired of your jokes. I'm tired of the silly things. I'm thinking in terms of something I've said all my life that's somebody that's really cute and fun. When you're dating, it's not as cute and funny. It isn't, you know what I mean? And so when you get tired of their jokes, you hear all the lines that they use and everything, you go, okay, well, there's not much left here. You know what I mean? I'm ready to move on and find something, you know, more entertaining that can benefit me more, whatever, you know what I mean? You know, I've spent 2 years in a relationship with you, and I've pulled every bit of wisdom you got, every bit of you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, okay, well, next, you know. And, but the neat thing about the Lord is he's not that way. Yeah. You know, first of all, he's not that way towards us because he's not in this for what he can get. He's just, because he don't get much. Yeah. And that's his nature. And the neat thing is that by coming into a relationship with him, we can only do that through that word with. Once we become in him, then we become one with him. In the beginning, once we've entered in, then we become with. Once you become with, it's not what you can, you know, well, you're no longer entertaining, well, you know, or you're no longer fun, or you're no longer teaching me something, or helping me, or whatever. The nature of the Lord becomes such that, well, I'm not in this for, you know, I mean, even if it isn't personally rewarding to me, you know, I'm in this for you. And of course, if the person concludes that they can't get any more out of you, they'll do just like the Lord, they're hiding on the cross.
We're God above.
And in a sense, it is an individual thing, but in a sense, it's not.
Right.
You know,
that's exactly right.
Individually, we need to build a father, you know, through the Son. But then corporately, you know, we need to build a father and a body.
Right. And, you know, and those are actually two different relationships, but the same. One is an individual sonship relation, and the other one is as a new man. But to me, the individual sonship thing is really, really very important. It's really important. But it's not individualistic. You never do that. For the very reasons that I'm talking about, I'm describing when you become in and you become with, and your spirit changes. I mean, you know, you can help the lowly, you can help the unlovely, you can or be with them and be happy, or you know what I mean? Before that, it's I want to be seen with these people because they enhance my reputation. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, think of the way some people think. And you just go, you know, Jesus was with the harlots and the outcasts and the, you know, the tax collectors and, you know, all this. And he didn't, you know, I mean, he didn't care about it. First of all, if you make yourself of no reputation, which is what with will eventually accomplish, which you're with him, in him first, then you become with him. See, I mean, you're walking down the road, and if you're with the Lord, and he says, well, let's go over there and help those people, you don't go, well, I don't know, man, that might make us look bad. Because if you said that, you wouldn't be with him, in the sense I'm talking. You know, you go, that's a good idea. Let's do it. You know, because it's in you, because you're in him. Because you're in him, it's in you, and you become with him. And this is where you begin to form the mind of Christ. This is where you begin to be one with him. See, we always talk about that word one, and I don't like most of our concepts, even the terminology one. A lot of Christians reduce this down to unity, but even those who don't, I don't even think I like their understanding of the word one, because they're still saying we're together or something. And the word with to me means more than just being together. It means you have become one with. You are partaker of the one, which is not us. And so you view things through his nature. You're not doing your own thing. I don't know, man. It's like, well, I check in with the Lord regularly. For what? Well, you know, to find out for sure. Does anybody get my point? I mean, I'm not against checking in regularly, okay? But I'm trying to make a point that how about checking in regularly and finding out that you are really in tune? That's being with. Yeah. And if we're out of tune, then we ought to check in regularly until he tunes. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with checking and breaking. But that's not being together or with. That is keeping the flow, making sure you know, so that eventually, you know, end up 100 miles out from that field and going, kind of like Becky Darrow playing baseball yesterday, way out over there.
Is it, like, not together, but one is what I believe one really is like this. It's like this wall right here, bricks. They were built together as one to make one wall. They were built together, you know. And the word says that we are being built together as one new man, you know. And in a, if we can, but it's not just together. We can't just take together and separate from who we are. It has to be the unity thing. So knit together. That way, you're all one. When one moves, then we all move.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's right. I think one way to reduce it down just a little bit more to maybe it's fully saying we're up getting close to the very end of the function. The very heart of the thing is, who is the one? And when you say you're one, when you can say that it's Christ, that the motives, that the ministry, that the attitudes, that the hopes, dreams, that the, you know, I almost want to say heartbeat. I know that's not in the scriptures, but it's as if, it's a strange way to put it, as if God hurts, we hurt. If God is happy, we're happy. We're because we're one with Him, it's not even, in a sense, I mean, we are still a free moral agent. We are still in Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we have become so meshed with Him that He is the one. So yes, everything you're saying is exactly right. There is this kind of debate. But the strongest realization is that who is that one? The one is Christ.
Yeah, I was going to share this on the way back. For a lot of people, identification means that I'm here identifying with Christ over there.
Yeah.
Well, identification is that I'm not here identifying with Christ over there. I'm right there.
Right.
That's the identity is right over there, not separated in right and saying that I'm with Christ. If that's Christ, that's where I'm at. That's where my identity is.
Well, that, you see, that's making the two one when you do that. The other way, to not do it that way, is actually, okay, how do you hack it? You're still two.
Yeah, but the only way that you can see that is if the Spirit shows you that it is just one entity. It's not just a bunch of little different people. It's kind of like, again, the wall, bridge in the wall. We're not together with the wall. We are the wall.
Right. And that gathering still isn't the word.
But individually, there are bricks in the wall. But take away those bricks out of the wall, that wall is not there.
See, I don't believe the beginning could start until they were weak. Because, and I think there's a lot of things that we think we've begun, or maybe I think I've begun, or whatever, that really haven't begun, because it can't begin. You're building on an unsound foundation. And so we've begun our little projects, or our little ideas, or even God's ideas that He hasn't released us to do yet. We just heard, like Moses, you know, he heard him deliver Israel, went out and said, "Okay, we'll do it," you know, and kill somebody. And, you know, but he thought, and if you ask the man, he'd say at the moment, you know, when he did, I'm with God. I did this because I was with the Lord. And the Lord kind of going, you know, I disavow all knowledge of this, you know, I can't affirm this. He wasn't with me the way I am talking about. That's what God would say. He was with me with His understanding. Okay, this is why I keep saying there was even a statement, I don't remember where it is, here, that I read last time. Only by seeing the way he does can we know his son the way he should be known. And can we know anything? Anything, because this is a whole realm of reality. You see what I'm saying? This reality of Christ is another realm than the sense realm. It's a whole realm of reality that is different than this reality down here. And so only by seeing as he sees can we actually know that. What we do is we transfer his truths into our understanding and into our realm. And that doesn't work.
Now, we're just talking about that first of my mind is that it's only for time. God says, there's a fullness of time, and that fullness of time is now Christ, not in a linear thing that we consider that so many clicks of a second or so many periods of a 24-hour period makes fullness of time. Christ is the fullness of time, and that fullness of time.
Absolutely. He is the fullness. He's the fullness of the body. He is the fullness of time. He's the fullness. God's heart and the plan is in the bosom of the Father. Okay, let's see. You don't fellowship in experiences, but in the Word. But do not try to be with God, for you are not with God. The Word is with God, and you are in the Word. Right? But we're always trying to be with God. So even while we're talking now, some are going, oh, I don't know if I'm really with you, my trip. Well, you're not. But Jesus is, and that's why it says the Word was with you. And we're in the Word, and that's not just I read a book. I'm in Christ, the Son, the Word, the Logos, the complete thought of God. I'm placed there, I believe that, I'm there, one with Him, identified there with Him. And that's the only way that you're ever, you cannot get to the Father except through the Son. It don't happen any other way. It's not going to happen any other way. It comes through Him as the one, as the, not just the mediator, but the one that can approach the Father. First of all, you can't even approach Him. Apart from Christ. You say, well, yeah, I can through His blood. Well, maybe you don't realize that, Jesus put you to death and then gave you a new life, and that's what you call born again. So you can't even get to the Father. You couldn't get to the Father until you were born again, which means you died and you got born again. There can't be a new birth until there's an old death. That took place. See, how is it that we can worship and do things and God use us and stuff like that, and we don't know all this stuff? How is it that God can do that? Because the truth, it's all established. I mean, blood settled the sin question. Jesus put you to death. From the God side, the Father side, it's all done. It's all settled. I mean, you take about that much advantage of it. I mean, as far as He's concerned, you're totally His Son. You're totally one with Him. You're totally dead. And He acknowledges that. So he looks at Jesus and sees the scars. And so He says, you did a good job. They're all dead. And you became their life. The Holy Spirit came down here to tell us that that was the case. Not to make it so, but to help us to understand that it already is so. So what do? We hear it. We go about trying to get with God. And He's going, no. The Holy Spirit's going, look, I'm your teacher, and you keep setting me aside over here and not asking me my opinion, and go ahead and start, let your mind grow and go, okay, well, this means that I need to be with God too. Okay, I'm going to get with you, Lord. I'm going to get with you, Father. And good luck, because you can't do it apart from Christ. And when I say it again, I'll just rub it over, but when I say apart from Christ, I mean, you can't do it at all. God, when Jesus put you to death, gave you His life, rose again, and you are now. I was meditating on the scriptures yesterday. The Lord there for us. Think about those in Colossians. It says when that we are hid in Christ. That we are hid in Christ. And then, and I, you know, you've heard me share on this before, but I was meditating on that again. We're hid in Christ. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then, here's the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will breathe on. Then shall you appear. So then shall you appear with it. But then shall you appear. I'm going, well, when am I going to appear? When am I going to be? When Christ does, then you're going to appear with him because you're one with him. You're in him. But we're trying to appear something. Or good, or saintly, or, you know, a leader, or I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what. I, you know, whatever it is, we're not being hid in Christ. Because that's where it says. It says that in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, that we are hid in Christ. And that when he appears, there's my appearing, because I'm one with him. But we're not waiting for him to appear. We're living as if the death, burial, even, and resurrection are a reality for us, that we're supposed to just set out to be good Christians or something. I'm not sure whether. When in reality, the best thing we could do is be called, join ourselves to Jesus, walk for a couple of years, just not knowing nothing but Christ and Him crucified. You know what I mean? Just knowing, listening to His words, you know, and letting Him tell you, you know, Peter, that's no, you don't understand. You know what I mean? Getting us to a place where we don't go by any other mind but His mind. But for some reason, we join with Him, and then we keep running ahead. Come on, you know, and trying to drag Jesus into our places where we want to go. And then we get off over there thinking, well, I was thinking the Lord said we were going over here, and He's over there. And then somebody would say to me, well, are you with the Lord? Oh, yes, I'm with the Lord. I just don't know where He is right now. You know? But I'm with Him. I mean it. I'm with the Lord. Don't say I'm not. Okay. Seems like it. No. But I'm with Him. Sure. Don't patronize me. You know what you're doing. I'm not. You're not with the Lord. Wake up. Smell the coffee. But they're saying, their conclusion is, well, if you're saying I'm not with the Lord, then I'm not saved. And you're going, I ain't talking about being saved. I'm talking about with the Lord. You're saved. You're a child of God. God loves you. You're going to heaven. He'll probably pull you through this one like He has many other. But you're not with the Lord. But God's explanation of with and our explanation of with are two different things. So we can't communicate with God.
Probably popped up with because we're a linear, but this world is alongside of.
Right.
Yeah. That's all the way that we could conceive of a with. So when people talk about the with, like you're doing, the first thing a lot of people pop up is having this walking alongside with somebody. But as you start thinking of the word, there is no alongside Christ. There is Christ. That's the width that's talking about.
There is no alongside of Christ. Then there isn't. There's only with Him, in Him. That's why I started this whole thing with the word in. Another way to look at that is that if I haven't totally dropped all faith, been beat down by the devil, kicked around the room 3 or 4 times and whatever, but I'm still holding on with belief, then I'm with Him. So if you say, well, are you with the Lord? They go, yes, I'm with the Lord. And what they mean is, yeah, I mean, if, you know, and you say, are you sure you're with Him? You go, yeah, trust me, you know. And what they're thinking is that if they're just totally, oh, and all beat scattered over there. You know, where's God? Where's God? And then you ask them, why doesn't the Lord? Right now they're going, oh, but I am with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? You're going, why are you doing all this stuff? Well, but I'm still with the Lord. Okay, well, yes. On our terminology, everything is right. But what we need to do is learn a new vocabulary, learn a new walk. There's a new life, new walk, new words, new reality, new realm, new man, new woman, new soul. We need to behold. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new species, is another translation. I didn't mop it. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. I used to wrestle with that. I wasn't looking in Christ, was I? I was looking at me or in you. But I wasn't looking in Christ. And that doesn't say, it says there's therefore not no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So I look down here and people are condemning. Jesus walked around and people condemned him. He didn't have any reason to be condemned. But there, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We go, well, great, you have. That's exactly what we say. We say, great, you have word. There's no identification in Christ. You just go, well, dang, that's good for you. What about me?
Well, I think it's, up to a certain point, the apostles, the Bible rules, you crucified and then fled. They didn't come understanding much of what he said until the time of Pentecost.
But it's just the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah.
But from what John said in Matthew 19, later on, the latter part of Matthew 19 is where the parable of rich and the rich and poor, the rich young ruler, and the 24 is where Jesus tells them to give for rich men, then the capital end of the deal, and then to keep them. And 26, Jesus spoke to this man that is impossible to go home. Once again, that establishes two things. One is that God has just wiped out any possibility of any man trying to make any of his merit something that will cause God to accept him the way that he is.
Right.
So you can shoot that out and that works there, right? The other thing that I see is that with that clearness that again has to do with either your terminology or the way that you view things. If you're going to view things to the eyes of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you have to understand where you're with God. But if you understand them for your own, then you're compassionate and things that are love.
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse with this, but I think there's yet truth that can be squeezed out here. So I want to just, God's definition of where we put it right here, my definition of where is down here. And so as I'm with God, God says, if you're with me, you're one. You, when I move, you move. When you, the spirit in which I move, you move in, that sort of thing. So let's take the example of the disciples and walk in. Jesus this time starts going by Samaria and he's on his way to Jerusalem because the Bible said he had set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Now on the way through he stopped in Samaria and they were all shocked, but now they got used to the idea. But now his mind has changed. He's pressing towards Jerusalem because it's time for the feast and he's going to go die. Okay, his face is set as a plan. So what do the disciples do? Well, Lord, because all these people came out and said, oh, come, and then they all been stirred up from the woman at the well, and all the people cannot hear his word. So they're all going, come to Samaria, come, we want to hear you speak. And the disciples go, oh, this is a big opportunity. Lord, come on, And Jesus goes, no, we're not going to do that. And their mind, you know, they had their mind, which they thought was the Lord, because it was something that happened previous in those exact linear circumstances. They didn't learn his mind. They're trying to know every given situation. Well, God did this in this situation. So if I would meet that one again, and he'd probably do something totally different. But we're learning God linear, but we're not learning God. We're learning situation ethics. No, we're learning situations and trying to think, if I can get enough situations figured out, then I'll know what God's going to do. It don't work. No?
Knowing
how he operated, you can't even say how he operates, because like in this situation, this time he didn't stop us. And you know, another one where James and John said, "Well, those people don't receive us over there. Let's rain fire down on them." Remember that? Disciples of Jesus. Let's rain fire down on them, like Elijah did. They said they were being scripture. Didn't know the mind of Christ, weren't with the Lord, but they studied the scriptures. Spraying fire down on them like Elijah. You know what Jesus said? You don't know what spirit you're of. You know, you're not with me in this. You're not, it's just like, you're not with me here, but you think you're with me. Okay, so what did Jesus do? Once they were going by their with, and they were not with him, what did Jesus do? He said, "That's it. You guys aren't with me. Out of here. I just now discovered you haven't been with me. It's all over with. We're breaking up the team. Go away." No. You know what he said? He proceeded to, again, try to bring them to this reality to continue. Of course, you know, I mean, in reality, they hadn't even begun ministry. His ministry was them. They were his workers. They thought they had already started the ministry. They didn't know that they were in training, not ministry. Because the beginning hadn't even begun. So many of us really think we're way down the road. God, you leave Egypt here. Get on the other side, and you're in the wilderness, you know, and you travel all this way, you know, and here's the promised land, all this way to get right here, but you know, this is still the wilderness. You don't really begin until the inner end of the land. Because in the wilderness, there is no way. It's confusing. Bible says that in the wilderness, there is no way. You know why? Because the way is the person. It's over here. The way is Christ. He said, "I am the way." See, we're trying to figure out the way. Now, when you get to a voluntary situation with no water, here's what you do. And when you get up, you know what I mean? And he's going, you know, there is no way. You're not going to figure this out. You're going to figure me out. And that's why I sent the Holy Spirit. To know.
The Holy Spirit should remind me of some of the scriptures in the Old Testament when children of Israel or whoever God was dealing with at the time, and they had left the Lord, and the scriptures always came back as a rebuke and drawing. He left me.
Right.
Not always being called this, this is what's off, this is what's wrong, but since you departed from me, you left me. And then he began, you know, that word, like what you're saying, to come back to the with.
Right.
And
Well, and you have to view that as in two lights. So the light that you said, okay, you left me and you're not with, even if you think you're with. And so he sets out to bring them to this with, right? That's what you just said. Okay. But there's another reality to be tacked on top of that, and that is, while he may be working to get you to this with, in reality, you are one with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you are. I mean, he probably the thing that's so frustrating for him is that you're working so hard to get what you got. You know, I mean, you are accepted. You are one. You know, and if he gets frustrated, he don't, there's probably me. But if I get frustrated, and I go, You are with it's only because you don't have to be here. You are here. You're only here in your understanding.
Just open your eyes.
Yeah, if you can really see that you are totally accepted, that you are totally with the Lord. And He would rather you not fall in a heap and go, my God, I must not be with the Lord. And He went, oh, and that just opens wide the door for the devil to start playing soccer with your head. You know, instead to go, well, I don't understand it, but you say I'm with you, and I want to be brought to that reality, and I really hate being all over here in my understanding, but until I fully see this, I'm going to be, but I will never let go. But this is the truth, even if I continually have contrary to it. I will never let go of that. I can't afford to. It's my lifeline, my link. I must believe that I am with, not because I seem to appear to be with, but because of the work that He did, and He's the one who said I'm with, because He put me in His Son, and the Word is with God. Come?
I don't know if you're late, Dr. Lord, like there's been two definitions of with or believe or something. If I say that I don't confess one, I'm afraid I'm losing.
Right.
And so I have a fear of I'm not with you, Lord, because then I go, my God, how did I get Christ if I confess that?
Right.
What I'm really saying is I'm with you, but all of a sudden, just recently, Lord, just saying that if I say, but in this area, I don't know you, so I can't possibly be down here. That, and that's what I'm just right now, once you're talking to me, that's not this.
Right.
But to me, I just see saying, oh my gosh, you're talking about this one, and I can't say I'm not with you, because then I'm not with you. And the Lord is just going to tell me, well, no, you are with me, but you just don't know me in this area to be with me in this place. So if you confess that you're not, I can start to show you.
Absolutely.
And it's the same with believing and knowing. And the Lord has just been showing me, the enemy would start, like, you just get beating me up, and I start confessing the one, because I thought I was breaking the link.
Right.
And but that's not. It's so cool.
Well, and isn't it interesting that you can be bold and humble at the same time?
Yeah.
You're humbled by the fact that, man, I really wasn't with you.
Right.
But I'm bold to say I am not by anything I've done.
Right.
But thank God that I am, and I will not let go of this. But see, we don't want to let go of this, which makes it cleave to wrong things. And we need to be careful which one you let go of. This one is settled, and you didn't do nothing to keep it, except believe.
It is really thing I think that sometimes that my conscience, I would be afraid to say I don't know, which would keep me unopened to ever knowing. Because
right.
I'm saying I see and I don't see.
Exactly right.
And so the enemy would keep me in fear. I do believe, I know this, to say I don't know this, and I see. And the Lord said, you know, I really do. Well, Kelly, why are you so hard headed? I don't want to deny the faith. You know, say it was my fault.
And you see how dumb that sounds, though.
No, right.
But I can't let go of that.
I
can't. And you're going.
And I don't even have it to begin with because I don't know who did that.
Oh.
And the Lord just the Lord is telling me if I stay in that area that I don't know, then that's the first time in my life I have hope of knowing. He can finally show me because I'm not saying I know all the time. So it's encouraging, so encouraging. I'm learning is that it's difference between being in Christ and abiding in Christ. And the word being with God actually means to make the word made his dwelling or made his abode with God. And so he made God his environment to love him. And we are Christ, abide in Christ. The Lord has chosen this between being in Christ and abiding in Christ. That's because I tell you about being in Christ and loving Christ and why. Because you're not abiding in Christ. You're in Christ, so all things are true of you, that the scripture says. But if you're not abiding there, then it never manifests. And you never understand it, and you never begin to walk in it. And so, I have to abide, and this is what my Kelly was saying. If you don't know the Lord in a certain way, then you can't probably abide in Him in that way. You just can't. So you can say, yeah, I'm in Christ, and I'm tempted with love, and I'm this and that, but I have no clue what He's like. That's why you have to be, or whatever, you know.
I was going to say a couple of things. If there's areas that you have an understanding with, Lord, show me that I confess I confess the truth, not because of the fact that it's something I'm trying to hang on to in order to make it so, but I confess the truth because I confess what God says. I want to come to agreement with what He says, not just in order to make it so in my life, but I want to come to agreement with what He says, whether I ever see it or not. And the other thing is, in ministering to other Christians, actually, one of the three things that I've seen is that their encouragement needs to be also knowing that they're accepted in the blood of God, that they're accepted in Christ, and that's where they are. You know, I didn't realize that that's how we walked for a long time, that we were just entities that were saved, that we did our own thing down here until I started seeing the truth of it in ministering to the Christians and realizing that that's their understanding. What I understood too, and for a long time, that's just certain things. And that they need to be encouraged that they really are in Christ. They need to be encouraged that they are accepted. That there's nothing because they feel unacceptable without us. Right.
Well, and this goes along with some of what I was fixing to share next, and that is that we feel unacceptable. We do unacceptable things. We understand the God of the Old Testament because truly He is that way. So what is wrong with us feeling unacceptable and feeling guilty and all that? Because the New Testament is that, number one, Christ fulfilled the law, Christ died for us, and then God placed us in Jesus Christ. And that is our identification. Okay. So that we are no longer viewed based on the Old Testament way. Though if we don't accept that, if we don't embrace the New Testament truth, Christ, and Him crucified, the work of the cross, then we continue to relate and believe about God that He is the way towards us as He works towards us. And we, and people, I hear them all the time, well, look at God, look, they point to the Old Testament, look how God is. So, you just seem to be missing a little piece here. It's called Jesus. That you are His now. And your life is Christ. And then it's going to take a death, burial, resurrection. It's going to take a seed falling from the ground and die. It's going to take being hid in Him for a while to bring forth that life. But that doesn't change the fact that you're in Him. And long before you ever see anything, you better learn to believe that you're in Him with everything you've got. Because the truth is, if you have it, because the truth is this, if you see it too quick, and you're used to going by seeing and feeling and everything, you see it too quick, you know what's going to happen? Once you start seeing Him coming out of you, you'll start going by that. And it will always be a walk of faith. I don't care how much Jesus you see come out of you, and that's only a result of abiding in you. Fruit, not outward manifestation. Abide, you bring forth fruit. Stop abiding. Even if you're seeing, you abide for a while, so there's this momentum, It's like a train goes off the track. It just keeps going for a while, even though it's off track, because the momentum. Well, for a while, there'll still be some life and fruit coming forth. And you'll start going by it and looking at it, but it'll be cut off at a certain juncture. And then you won't see Him coming out of you anymore because you haven't been abiding, because fruit is a result of that. And then you'll go, where did it go?
Yeah, you trust that a number of times, so. Such ways, such circumstances and everything, is that when we try to be delivered from our circumstances, that's one of the causes of it, or result of always wanting to be delivered from our circumstances, because then we're looking at manifestations in certain ways. But if you tend to know God based on truth, which is in Christ Jesus, rather than on circumstances and Him working and changing your circumstances, your circumstances can always be dark, but your faith is always in the truth. So then when you ever see manifestations of it, your faith never changes because it's not based on the change of the circumstances.
And it doesn't matter if you're good or bad or whatever, you cannot. And that's why you say you're not with, you are with. And you, because by abiding there will change things. But we see we're not there, so we run around to see. We always leave. I don't know. It's like we can call it a relationship with Jesus, or in truth, it is a relationship with the Father through the Son. We can all call it a relationship with God. I don't care what we call it. But whatever it is, in reality, it's us and God, whichever name you want to put on that person. Us and God. Okay. You can call him Jesus, precious Jesus, whatever you want. You know, the Father, you know, God, it's God. And the element that we constantly leave out is Christ, who is made unto us. He's everything that we need, and if we believe that, then we are complete. If we don't believe that, it's only because we're going by what we see. If we believe it, it's only because we're going by what the truth as it is in Christ. And so it is a constant, daily, hourly, almost, story telling us, reminder telling us where we live and where we ought to live. You see. So that was one of the things I wrote. I said, but do not try to be with God, for you are not with God. The Word is with God. You must be in the Word. You must be identified in Christ. It is so easy for us to leave Him and try to be with the Father. But it's impossible. You cannot come to the Father except through Him. You can't. Paul wrote this, I'm audible. You are so soon removed from Him. Now why would he marvel? I'll tell you why. Because he sees the truth. And he goes, you know, why would you go about, you know, having begun this beauty? Now, the perfect flesh, I mean, have you ever noticed his flesh? I mean, it's like, boom. I mean, he really gets to the point. You know, and it's always, you move from him. You're out of him. It's not Christ-centered anymore. You say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But that's still being separate from him. One of the best ways to say I love Jesus is because you understand the beauty of his nature and everything. Not only have you seen it, but by seeing it, it begins to work in you, and you love Jesus. That's really love of Jesus, because that's really understanding Jesus, so that you can say, I love Jesus. But we say, oh, I love Jesus because, you know, I mean, he's really there when I get down financially. You know, or whatever. You know, if we're really not loving Jesus, we love the fact that we got something to fall back on. Or whatever. And, you know, he don't even mind that, because that's just the way he is. And, you know, and for a while, all of us do that. But I'm just saying, to really love Jesus is to really begin to know him. Because, you know, the old saying, to know him is to love him. Gosh, I mean, I can't. And that's not loving him, having seen what he's really like. I know that's one of the initial seeing of him for me was such a contrast to all human nature that I just went, there's nobody like this. And I said, you know, I didn't think it would go for me, but I said, I'd like to follow at least something that looks right, seems right.
Jesus.
Yeah. Now we're back
to one with the bond.
Notice this right here, these two right together. Because without one, you can't be with God. And it's impossible. That's why I said the word in is first. You've got to be in the one, and then you're with God. Because it's through him that we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son. I was quoting Paul. I said, I'm already so soon removed from him. And I wrote this in. You left him, and the result is reproof. Okay? Reproof. Not rebuke. Reproof. There's a difference in the Greek. There's a difference. The word reproof means one thing, and the word rebuke means one. The word reproof means that you are being reproved with the element that you are going to turn. To be rebuked means you're hard-headed, you ain't going to receive what I got to say anyway, but you need to be told the truth. And those are two different Greek words. You should check it out. You have left him, and the result is reproof. Well, reproof isn't that, because reproof is correction. And it brings you, it turns you. So, example. You're off, you think you're with him, because you're going by your definition of with. All of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I'm not with God. I messed up, I got off somehow, da 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 da. Okay. And how would you realize that? Usually through reproof, somehow or another. You know, the guy did somewhere or another, and he brings a reproof, and so you realize that. Okay. So, what is the immediate thing you do? Okay, I'm not with him based on this with, though I said I was with him, I see that I'm not, but I am with this, so I renounce this with, and I believe this one, and I trust, and it's called, that's called a new beginning. That part is called a new beginning. Okay. You get a new beginning, you move from this place by faith. Not, you know, even if your actions continue to go with this for a while, you have said, no, this is the truth. And I said, you cleave to the truth and go and rehearse to renounce the old. I'm not for this. I'm not with this. I do not want to be off. And even if I was not off in a really negative way, I would want to be with the Lord and am based on His viewpoint. Now, Lord, work that in me. I am with you. Isn't that interesting? You see, a natural witness begins to already, it's a meeting, it's a coming together that begins to take place. But then we're always fearful. But even as I say this, I know I'm going to turn around because I'm so easily deceived and I'm going to get off and I'm not going to be with you. Well, see, that's like not renouncing this. It's like believing this. Okay? And what is your motivation then? Fear becomes, what is your motivation up here? Faith becomes your motivation. Fear keeps you here. But faith will move you out of that before you ever see anything else happen. You've got to learn, and this is so hard for some of you here, because you have trained yourself to go this way. You have literally, when all these years, you should have been training yourself to go and train, to learn, to go, that's God. I like the way Molly did the other night, you know, in our prayer meeting, and I thought of this. I thought, that's the way everybody should be raised. You go, praise God, we pray, glory to God. You know? And of course I said, well, may I feel some stuff later on, but the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. And so you go, okay, praise the Lord, that's it, okay. You know, you don't go, if you want to, convince the person that's ministering to you, yeah, I'm with it, but all what's really rolling in there is all the fears and all the past history you have in the linear realm that dictates what you are and what you're going to be to you. And this is what should dictate who you are and how you're going to respond. First, by believing. Faith. Fear keeps us from faith. Fear is faith. I call it negative faith. Because fear is believing, but it's not believing God. Fear is believing the enemy, but it is just as much believing. It's just negative faith. It's not godly faith. It's ungodly faith. And so, the scriptures rightly term it fear. You've seen these shirts and hats that say, no fear. I saw somebody had one that said, some fear. God is not, I am not insensitive to your fears. When I preach and I share and I go, man, we just want to learn what it is what we ought to do. If you don't do that and you've trained yourself in fear, for years, and you only ever once in a while, or only a few circumstantial things know how to act in faith. Financially, I know that God, or, you know, I mean, something, you've got some area that you, you know, worked at enough times that, you know, you many of them have a good experience so that you can now release your faith. God is not insensitive to your fears. God is not insensitive to where you're at. He is not uncaring. For me to boldly say, oh, I just know that you're on my left, you know, is the truth. It's the truth. It's what you ought to do. And if you're not, then, you know, the only thing I would know, I mean, I know that you don't change your life with a snap of a finger. I know that. I know that God, you know, the devil or the old paths that you walk in, you've worn a rut so wide it's hard to climb out of. I know that. You know, if you could snap out of it, that would be wonderful. But God is faithful to keep telling you. And if you get enough of that on a regular basis, over and over, it will begin to work in there. I know this. God raised up this church for those reasons, to give it enough input to keep going, keep going, and keep going. And if it wasn't in classes, then it is in tapes or books or something. But God, I mean, when I started, I knew I learned this through that way because there wasn't enough classes. There wasn't enough, there was never enough this part. And when you're one, you know, to know the Lord. You know, so you go to the tape room, you get every tape you can, you just pump it in and pump it in, and all the negative, what I call negative confirmation of the old paths and stuff, man, I just wanted to fill my mind and wash with the Word of God. I just wanted to, because my mind and my being was contrary to Christ. And so when we raised up this place, it was for that purpose. Because God can do anything He wants to with us after that, but that has to be the central flow of the Word of God, washing and cleansing. And, you know, there weren't a lot of books. There weren't a lot of stuff when I first did it. But there's the Bible, and there are people that will tell you the truth. They want to share, you know. They want to talk about Jesus. They will, you know. And sometimes, I mean, you have to just go grab on it, you know. Pulling out, what were you sharing in class the other day, Jerry? Man, that was good. Well, I'm kind of shy. I don't really feel like I'm anything. I shouldn't be sharing anyway. You know, this stuff, I'm really fine with it myself. You know, what I find in it, I end up sort of sharing. You know, you do whatever you got to do to bring the Word out. Yeah. And God is faithful. God is faithful. But we say He's not because we spread this thing out so long. You know what I mean? It's like going and buying a high concentrate of, you know, something, you know, cleanser or something. You go, oh, it's highly concentrated. And we go dump it in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's so diluted or it's so spread over, you know, where you get a little here and then they go over so long, blah, 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 and then they get a little here. And it's like, it just takes so long. And I just really believe that Jesus grabbed those guys and pulled them out and said, okay. Jesus come back with this, you know. Excuse me. Nicodemus walks up. They're standing there. This is what we don't really realize. The guys were there when they heard His response. And then Matthew 13, they would come up finally. They go, you know, why do you? They were getting better. Why do you speak to them in parables? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I speak to the multitudes in parables because they only come around every so often. They ain't going to do it. The best thing they're going to do is if I paint a little picture, they can get a little picture. But to you, it's given the mysteries. That's why we're walking and talking and sharing. One group, one year, might have heard this Sermon on the Mount, another one, the parables over here, another group, I'm talking about the multitudes, over the years, heard this and that, you know, they got stories to tell about the time Jesus sat on the mountain and shared, you know what I mean? And But the disciples were there every time, every step of the way, listening, hearing, seeing, ask, finally asking, you know. Okay, now, you know. And then, you know, like Luke 9, you know, there's this bad situation, and Jesus goes over there, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out, and this kid's demon-possessed and all this, and Jesus steps into the big middle of confusion and everything like that, and he takes care of the situation, he deals with it, and casts out the demon, the healings come and everything in that situation, and the scripture says, and all the people marveled at the wonderful works of God. But Jesus pulled aside his disciples and said unto them, well, everybody's going, oh, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus, what he did, there was confusion, everything was bad, and he really did. While all that's going on, he pulls his disciples aside and says, let these sayings sink down in your ears, the Son of Man. What? Well, everybody is rejoicing. Everybody's up, man. This is the time to have a big crusade. What are you pulling us aside and telling us you gotta go die? This is dumb. And he did it more and more and more. The early part of his ministry, he did it. The middle part, he started increasing on the discipleship side of it. The last year, it was almost nothing. Especially right down to the last 6 months of his ministry, almost nothing. But almost nothing with the cross. Almost nothing. He started withdrawing from the crowds. He started avoiding stuff because the cross had to get in. It had to become, they had to get enough information so that when it happened and he went away, the Holy Spirit could begin to break in his life. I ain't getting anything. Take in everything you can. I ain't getting it. Take in as much as you can. You may not get it at the time it's being given. If you take it in and hold it, Mary pondered these things in her heart, you'll have something. But if you take it in and you give your little interpretation to everything, I don't know that the Holy Spirit is going to break that bread, because that's not really bread. That's your interpretation of bread. That's like somebody handing out loaves and fishes and you walking off with a description in your mind. It ain't going to fill your little tummy. And so, you know, there's this posture. You hear me talking about this all the time, but it's so important, and I really believe that I wouldn't even bring it up if it wasn't like a lot of people possibly missing. There is this posture before the Holy Spirit, before the Lord, that is, it doesn't understand everything. It doesn't know everything. It doesn't have to. It has the teacher. And so, you don't relegate everything and figure it all out. You just come and you read and you just kind of have this heart that's open and you say, and you just read it. You muse, you ponder, you meditate, but you don't really, you're not meditating and going, ponder? I bet that's not meditating, that's reasoning. That comes from the soul. You know, that's not meditating. Meditating, it's like chewing it, like a cow chewing its cud. It's like, but it's holding it. I always see it, you know, I always see these hands that you have it, but you have it before the Lord. You have it, but you have it before the Lord. I would like your explanation of this. Even things that you think you understand, because his explanations always keep growing. That's what's so cool about it. And so you, because, and I learned all this hard, you know, oh, okay, I got that one. You know, and then breakthroughs and I'm showing more. Now I've learned to just keep it all up there as much as I can. And the Spirit of God is so faithful to lift up Jesus. It's his job. That's what we're paying for. You know, he will do it. He does do it. But we say, well, what am I getting on Jesus? You know, we're in the Word, we're not holding before the Lord. The pure in heart will see God. There's no question about it. The hungry are going to be fed. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are going to be filled. Those that knock, the door is going to be open. If you ask, you're going to receive. You see, you will find.
Yeah, I was saying, I was focused on the Lord. What was shared, and I was just silent the whole time. And I was just talking to the Holy Spirit, and I was just talking to him. And it's like looking at it from all different angles, and not just. You're looking at it this way, you're talking to the Holy Spirit. You're really not, I'm not relating this or 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 this. You know, these are things that are, that are coming up, and I'm going to the Holy Spirit, and I just get to know. Get to sit there, man. And finally, all of a sudden, there's the Holy Spirit, there's softly, just came upon me and just showed me a picture of the body of Christ, recognized with many facets. And the facets are within time. And then, but you have the body of Christ with many sons. Each one of the sons are a facet. When I share, on the cross, the emphasis is not the facet, the emphasis is the cross. So, lifting up the Him and talking about Him. That's each and every one of our. Each and every one of the sons of Jesus is Jesus by the inclusion. But they share from a different angle as a cross and a passage. And that's what we're showing me. It was so holy that I had in every mind what the Lord had brought forth the message throughout. Sunday morning, and I was just meditating, and I was just chilling, and listening to the Lord, and what He showed me is just the precious.